The good, the bad, and the ugly.
With Terence Pillay.
Hello, Terence.
Hello, Darren.
Follow up on that horrific story. I remember you told us about that dog that had burrowed under into the neighbor's yard and then attacked the child.
Such a grim story. So in February, that was February 2016 already, we featured the story of Estelle and Graydon Sinkins, whose son Jamie was mauled to death after their neighbor's dog had dug underneath the fence and got onto their property. Jamie, like any other young child, was just simply playing in his backyard. And after the attack, there was, you know, outraged. An international expert came on board and opined on it as well. But Estelle and her husband laid charges against the neighbor. But it seemed that the wheels of justice just moved so slowly.
I remember.
Initially, it wasn't moving at all. And then we did the show. And then suddenly, there was interest in this case. And even a lawyer had called her up and said that she'd take on this case. So I caught up with Estelle to find out a year and a half later if anything's actually happened. Estelle, this week it started off quite badly for you. Tell me about what happened.
Well, basically, the prosecuting authorities are questioning every witness that the investigating officer has found in an inquest trial into Jamie's death. And at the end of this week, the magistrate who's listening to the evidence, Mr. Schultz, he will make a decision about whether or not my neighbours will be charged with any offence.
So how long has it taken to get to this point?
18 and a half months.
What has life been like for you in the last 18 and a half months?
It's been extremely difficult. You have days when you don't want to get out of bed because you feel so sad and depressed and you miss, and you know, I miss Jamie more than words can possibly begin to say. And you try and find the positive in every day, but some days it can be very difficult. And for 18 months we've felt like we've been hitting our head against a brick wall with the justice system. We finally got to this point where the Department of Public Prosecution passed the case on to a magistrate for a decision because they didn't feel that they could make a decision as to whether or not to charge my neighbours. So we have to go through 7 days of testimony, which means reliving everything that happened on the 10th of December 2015, numerous times for me because, you know, it's not hard for me to remember what happened because it lives with me every day, but this week's been particularly hard because yesterday the forensic officer who took photographs of Jamie's body gave evidence, and, you know, it's quite hard to listen to somebody saying in quite simple language, you know, the wounds that your son suffered, especially when you know firsthand exactly how much he did suffer.
Have your neighbours appeared in court in this inquest?
Yes, they were asked by the DPP to attend. They, as far as I'm aware, do not have to give any evidence, but they are permitted to question all the witnesses or to have a legal representative question all the witnesses on the stand.
What is their reaction to all of this? Have you spoken to them?
I don't know what they think, to be honest. They certainly haven't made any attempt to try and approach us at the courtroom. They've never asked to speak to us. They've never even sent a note and put it in our letterbox to say, sorry, but what happened? Can we talk? They choose not to acknowledge what happened.
Everything about this story is just heartbreaking and horrific.
And wrong.
And the fact that 18 months later, almost 2 years later, she has to relive this experience of losing her child like this, it's just heart-wrenching.
And you know what else? What is happening now over the next 7 days is simply an inquest.
It's not even a trial.
It's not even a trial. To see whether these people need to be charged. I mean, this should have been done a long time ago. And that's why this country is, in terms of justice, why we are in the state we are. Because these things take so long because nobody actually does their job.
You would think that a situation like this would require swift justice. And
it was a minor. There was a death of a minor. And you would think that they would have got it wrapped up in the first year, at least.
Do you know what is a question I'd like to ask? And you know what? I'd like to hear your opinion. Leave us a voice note on our WhatsApp number. It's 061-792-9495. The question I want to ask you is, if someone else's dog escapes the property for whatever reason and attacks somebody else, should that owner be held responsible.
Good morning, East Coast Breakfast team, Darren, Kerry and Scar. Yes, I think the owner should be held accountable. How can he or she just let the dog run around and let the dog just attack another person? It's totally wrong. Yes, I think he should or he or she should be held accountable.
It makes sense because you cannot put a dog on trial.
100%.
So somebody has to be held accountable. And if you've chosen to bring this creature into your life, into your property, and affect those around you, you need to be held responsible.
But also, you know, when you adopt a dog from the SPCA or something like that, they come and check your property to see if it's properly fenced off and that kind of thing. So as an owner, the onus is upon you to make sure that your property is...
But that's what the SPCA, every dog owner should be doing that on their own accord.
Morning, Darren. Yeah, 100%. If you can't look after your dog or secure your property so that your dog doesn't come out, I mean, 100%, that person should be held liable. I mean, these people lost a child. I would have completely lost it. You don't want to go around and beat animals and put an animal out. But I mean, if they can shoot the elephant in the Kruger whilst you are in his territory, why can't you put out a dog? And why can't you sort out the owner for that matter? They should definitely be held liable.
I hear what you're saying, and this poor mum who has lost her child because of an incident and is still waiting 18 months for any semblance of justice does seem completely wrong.
Hi, Darren. Yeah, I feel strongly about this. It's basically the same as a police dog. If you, as a civilian or perpetrator or criminal, shoot or kill a police dog, you get charged for murder as for murdering a person in the same degree. So, yes. They should put measures in place, and if the guy didn't have adequate security and the wall wasn't high enough, or he broke through the gate or whatever, that dog is basically a lethal weapon. That dog is there for a reason. It's there to protect their masters, and there to protect the neighborhood or the house, if you want to call it. So he doesn't know right from wrong when it comes to attacking. He just gets out and goes mad. So yes, I think the owner should be charged. They should be held accountable.
No, I think
to a degree.
You can hear that we're not. So thanks, Mike. Sorry for interrupting you. I think we can all agree that we think owners of the dogs should be held completely responsible for what they did.
100%. And an internationally recognized dog trainer had even spoken out against owners after the attack and who keep what she described as potentially dangerous animals without ensuring that they're properly trained or socialized. She says not understanding how a dog's instincts function and how dogs naturally communicate is what causes them to be aggressive. Yeah. Families need to learn the simple natural laws that govern dogs' behavior. If a dog appears to be aggressive, owners should get help immediately.
All right, if you want to engage directly with Terrence, you can do so on his Twitter. It's at Terrence Pillay, 1R in Terrence. Thanks, Terrence.
Thanks, Darren.